Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman.
And I'm Kieran Chetri, and this is Future Proof. Earlier this month, Jeremy had a chance to attend the Path to Purchase Summit in Chicago. He got to talk to some pretty interesting people about how companies are connecting with customers of tomorrow, talking about the future, so that's right along the mission of our podcast, Future Proof. He spoke to Martin Obu, who is the Chief Digital Officer at L'Oréal Canada, as well as Marie Chevrier. She's the founder and CEO of Sampler, which is the global leader in digital product sampling, which is connecting brands, publishers, and agencies. How was the path to purchase, and how was it talking to these two?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually. I feel like you would have enjoyed it also. A lot of really interesting companies sharing best practices from, the likes of Kellogg's all the way to, I mean, frankly, it was just a little bit about everybody in the retail space, L'Oréal, Unilever, Albertsons, I can go on and on, but a lot of people sharing best practices about what's working and what isn't in terms of connecting with consumers, and I think sampling and also partnering with companies that have strengths that lie outside of your own expertise. That was a core theme of Marie and Martin's presentation right beforehand. So
Martin brought up an interesting point when I was listening to your conversation about what motivates companies to change. And to try something new, to try to disrupt, so to speak, where they are in their business model. And he says oftentimes it takes a loss or, a loss of market share or something bad happening. And he said that L'Oréal wanted to make sure that wasn't the case, that they wanted to get ahead of trends and changes, embracing AI, embracing the new way that they connect with consumers. Is L'Oréal far ahead of other cosmetic and beauty brands in doing this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to say whether or not they're farther ahead or not right now, but I can actually say that they have done a lot of catch-up work. When I was there, maybe like 7 years ago or so, they were not ahead of the pack. And I think feeling that pain of falling behind, or at least realizing that they were not a market leader, really is something that they embrace. And I give them a lot of credit for realizing that. Here's more of our conversation.
You've got to pay attention to startups. You've got to collaborate with them. But why, in essence, do you think that that's so important for a company like L'Oréal?
Yes, thank you for your question, Jeremy, and thank you for having us.
Yeah.
So basically, in the market, we've got a big disruption, right? The way we used to do business, we have to adapt the way we operate and we do marketing and the strategy. And it's pretty much it's a consumer revolution, so we have to think what's next, right? And what's next, it's services. It's how we bring the best experience across channel. It's data and so on. And pretty much a startup can help us to go faster and create a new world that we have to imagine. And we think that alone we can go somewhere, but together with the ecosystem, we can go so far, right, and faster. So that's why startup needs to be for their energy, passion, entrepreneurship, and after that, like métier, we call it L'Oréal, so it's a specific knowledge that startup have that makes us go faster, leaner, more agile, and to create the future together that we maybe don't know what will happen because tech is changing so fast and consumer behaviors.
Yeah, and I think that one thing that's interesting to me about that is that, you know, Marie, I know you've had to partner, or not had to, but with a lot of different enterprise companies. I mean, how important is it? Obviously, the technology's changing, but then human relations haven't changed so much. How important is it to find the right partners ultimately to partner with in order to drive innovation?
Yeah, for sure. I think what we're seeing is that, especially for us, we're changing the way brands distribute product samples, which is something that's been around forever. There needs to be a mindset of innovation. There needs to be a mindset of wanting change and realizing that change is coming, whether they participate or not. And so you are always looking for people that are open-minded about new ways.
Do you think so? I guess L'Oreal, you can say, is one of those in the good basket, right? I mean,
yeah.
Have you ever run into a company that kind of says that, oh, we were really committed to innovation, mm-hmm. and then actually acts a little bit differently? Because I've sometimes discovered that where it's very easy to say that you're dedicated yeah. to it and harder to actually be that.
Yeah. One of the things I talked about that made L'Oreal such a great partner is that they made that innovation mission, company-wide mission. So they were very clear from top to bottom of the organization that they were going to be innovating with startups, and they even involved the everybody around the organization to vote towards which startups should be selected. So I think that was really important. Where I see it go wrong is there's a lot of friction points from, you know, we want to try something to, like, actually executing. So, like, some of the departments that you have to prepare for that you don't think about, like procurement, for example.
Oh, God. Quick editor's note, we lost like 20 seconds of audio right here. I'm such a bad person. Sorry, guys. Marie stops talking. Martin picks up the thread here.
And so we understand that entrepreneur, it's at the core of evolution. And after that, second thing we say, like, they need to be open. So we really want to be, we're the number one organization. You got two ways that you make people change. First way, it's when you're losing something, right? When it's hard, right? So I've done some business transformation in media company and so on. So it's not my first one at L'Oreal. And what I found out, it's people change when it's hurting. Mm-hmm. When you feel something hard, you have to change. Usually it's too late. And after that, sometimes you change because it's part of your DNA, like organization like Apple, Amazon, and so on. And L'Oreal, it's one of those organizations that didn't wait to be, it's too late to create the stack and technology and the foundation that we need to support the innovation that will bring from startup. So mm-hmm. the foundation needs to be in place. So I guess we're more than open. We want to create the future with those organizations now.
I like that. I mean, I think that creating the future is actually one of the most important things that we're talking about, obviously, here at Path to Purchase Summit. But I wanted to ask you, switching gears for a second, because we do a little lightning round for everybody we talk to, a little more irreverent or random get to know you. So what's your favorite part of Chicago since we're here now? Food, sightseeing, anything? Have you ever had the chance?
On my side, I had the chance yesterday, and it was a lot colder than I thought. Because we were just arriving from Texas, so I had the wrong clothes, right?
Yeah.
So it's my fault. It's not fault of Chicago. I guess Chicago on my side, thanks to Marie, she dropped me off to in front of the Millennium Park.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And I think it's a tourist place, but it needs to be, right? And I think the architecture was really good. And I had to purchase a hat, right, because it was really, like, freezing out. And I went to this little skateboard shop, and the guy was so cool, so nice, give me a deal.
Are you
a
big skateboard guy?
Yeah, I used to. And
oh,
I still,
nice.
Yeah. So, but my point is more like friendship. Really, like, it's clean city, it's pretty, design is good. So for me, I enjoy it. And we've been to this restaurant that was just perfect. Actually, Chicago, tomorrow I'm there.
Nice. That's so funny. How about you?
Yeah, I think food is really good here. Like, I've had really great restaurant experiences. It's also, like, really cool to see, like, in our space, the consumer packaged goods space, there's just like a lot of companies that are setting up shop and even like emerging brands that mm-hmm. are coming out of here. So I love that. I love that.
So speaking of emerging brands, if there was going to be an innovation conference for emerging brands in Montreal, which is a city I know you both know pretty well, what part of the city would that be?
Hmm. Actually, we got... So you say, like, let's say if we compare Chicago to Montreal, in Montreal, what will be?
Oh, well, yeah.
Because in Montreal, you got C2 Montreal.
That's true. That's
so
true.
That
it's,
is,
right?
It's in the new area of Griffintown that is just, like, evolving. So that's really cool.
I'm going to have to go there.
And you've got another event that I'm there as a more angel investor. It's called Startup Fest. It's in June. It's the best time to be in Montreal, actually, because first, all the festivals start in the same time. You've got fireworks at night, and you've got the best entrepreneur around the world and VCs in one place. So Startup Fest, I will be speaking, actually, actually on AI.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It all adds.
I spoke last year.
Yeah, so you should come with me.
Yeah.
I'll try to find a way.
That's so funny. Maybe I'll have to make my way up there. So as a former L'Oreal, I have to ask, Martin, favorite thing about working at L'Oreal?
Yes.
Or most memorable?
I got so much after 7 years. Actually, when I got the job, it was for 3 years. You know, I always do 3 years, and I was more like launching my new startup than going at L'Oreal. But when I met the CEO at that time, he just like, Martin, we want to own digital beauty. So I was like, wow, they're bold, right? L'Oreal, it's bold. When they start to move, it's moving, right? And I feel it was really entrepreneurship values that I was looking for. So I guess entrepreneurship value, clear vision of what they want to go. They are really clear on what they want to be number one in beauty, right? So it's clear. It's just beauty. It's what we want to do. And that's what we've done.
So the focus.
The focus and openness to take risk, because I didn't look at me. You know, I'm not the typical L'Oreal guy that they used to hire at that moment. And actually, they took risk with me, having a guy that is an entrepreneur, big tech background, marketing, yes, but not. I'm not a cosmetician.
Yeah.
I'm not a cosmetician. I'm learning.
Everything that everybody told me is that I joined L'Oreal too early, and that they embraced a lot of these ideals like a few years after I was there, which is great because
it changed. And when it's changed, they go. They walk the talk, right? They talk about sustainability, making stuff more greener. The way we work and operate, and it's happening. It's not only a marketing thing. I'm really impressed, actually.
That's awesome.
Now it's been 7 years.
Wow. 7 is the new 20. So, and then Marie, last lightning question for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how tired do you get about questions about being a female founder?
I'm not tired about questions about being a female founder. Like, I think sometimes they're asked in the wrong way, but it is true that there's just not a lot of female entrepreneurs, and even less female sole entrepreneurs. I think in Canada, the stat came that there was 5% of founders that were female, and so I think that tells a lot. And so I need to answer those questions because I want to inspire other women to become founders. So I don't get tired about them.
That's, yeah,
that's really good. Really good. And for us, it's we try to get 50-50, you know, like parity. I don't know if it's a word in English, but parity of gender, you know, like for sure in my team, you know, we're hiring data science and engineer and so on. So sometimes harder, but we have a program called Women in Digital, and we really like sponsoring like the community, making sure that, you know, if you're an engineer woman and you have a place to work, I guess L'Oreal, it's perfect, right? Mm-hmm.
But it is, by the way, though, you bring up, I think, an important point. I wasn't even going to think about this, but when you try to have like the 50-50 in certain areas, sometimes it's difficult. I know when we were throwing the Innovation Congress in New York City last July, that was our goal, and we actually beat the 50% speakership.
Yeah, congrats, yeah.
The problem was is that we had to work about twice as hard to get female speaker, and there were all these different reasons. There were institutional reasons that kept them lower down on the totem pole. There were a bunch of people who were actually pregnant or on maternity or things like that, and all these other reason. So it was interesting that it became this thing that was more challenging to champion. So I don't know. I find it to be a very interesting topic. I wanted to actually go back, though, to a question that I was asking kind of about how do you find the most successful enterprises to partner with? But, you know, Martin, how would you say, what are the top things about digital companies that, you know, just startups that you partner with? What are the traits of companies that win or companies that make good partners at the startup level?
Yeah. That's a really good question, actually, because you've got, I guess, the attitude first. You know, by first answering your problems. That's why we do business. It's answering your problems, and you got the solution. So first is that. But after that, secondly, it's attitude of the founder, attitude of the team, to make sure that this organization understand that we need to work hard together to create something that is exceptional. So that's what we're looking for. So attitude, after that, skill sets, for sure. And after that is an organization that it's not scared of trying new things, and they are able to be agile and adapt to sometimes our challenges inside the organization, because we're learning too, huh? We're transforming too. So
yeah.
we know we're not perfect, but we at least every day we try to improve on the ways of working. So I guess it's pretty much attitude, skill sets, and after that, making sure they are agile and open to, it's not always perfect, but anyhow, when you're an entrepreneur, you know it.
You know it, or at least you should, because
Marie, at least you should, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know that your business model changed a little bit from your initial conception of it, which is, mm-hmm. I think, part of why you've been successful, is you didn't just say, I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it this exact way, and I'm not going to make any pivots necessary in the meantime. I mean, how have you successfully pivoted your business as you built it the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely, I wouldn't call necessarily a pivot, but we did add different product lines that solved the problem better. And I think the main thing is Martin talked about the problem, like, and L'Oreal's clear vision. We wanted to be the number one in digital product sampling. And so when you take on that type of mission, you have to understand that that's very broad, and that along the way, there's going to come things that are going to be challenges. And so I think when we initially started, we probably built the product that will be widely used in 5 years. But in order to move the market to where we want it to be, which is spending more on digital, we knew that we needed to bring in a couple other things that made moving product sampling to digital easier, whether that be fulfillment or the audience access. And so we were on that mission, and we stay true to that mission, and we just make sure that every day we're pushing more and more people to change their product sampling budgets to digital.
Yeah, and Martin, I know that you obviously, you talked a little bit about this in your presentation, but can you tell us about some of the other areas other than sampling, which is huge for beauty, but what are some of the other areas that you're paying closest attention to in trying to find startups to partner with?
Yes, really clear. Actually, the way we landed into those problems and finding solution, we mapped the consumer journey. So on different type of model, the model where it's the mass, where I don't have the data, when they go to Walmart and so on. The other path when it's from a selective distribution model, where we got an e-commerce, so it's different. And the one where we are omni-channel, that means O plus O. So we mapped that. And from that, we met pretty much, like, I guess, 1,000 consumers to identify what was the pain points. And we identify those key areas. So first is pretty much it's virtual try-on. So how somebody, like, in the morning can test a new look that she saw at the Oscars or somewhere, and so then being able to look at the trend and how it fits to her face. So with augmented reality, now we're starting to work with Modiface and other partners like that. Startup in Toronto, actually.
Yeah, Modiface
and,
is really
and,
cool.
And this is starting to be really interesting. And everything that will go into the gesture of, you know, people looking in the mirror, they look at the phone as within a camera, and how we can be there every day to personalize beauty experience, right? That's how we see it. That's what we're looking for. This is more like on the virtual try-on diagnostic, skincare diagnostic. It's starting to be complex, right? Beauty, it's starting to be complex, right? More product on specifics to skin type and so on. It's more personalized beauty. Actually, I was in Austin 2 days ago, and we're about to create your personalized serum, personalized concealer with Lancôme Teint Particulier and Skin Surgical on the product. So we're going there, right? It's starting to be complex. So how we can help consumer to find the right product at the right time with the right perceived value. So everything is skincare, diagnostic, image recognition. So AI, AR, this is something we look. After that, more like on the day-to-day stuff, sampling. Secondly, it's a booking, you know, somebody in retail for makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Or
Spot Finder,
salon.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah. So like you find a restaurant and you book it by the same logic for like Open Table for beauty. Let's put it this way. And after that, we're looking for live, you know, let's say you want to have a live beauty assistant. So you're there, you try your makeup, and a live beauty assistant can talk to you. Everything about live events, this is what we look. And so sampling, virtual try-on, booking, and everything would be voice, right? Mm-hmm. Voice, we really, this is more me like now that saying that, because I don't know yet how well I'm at L'Oréal totally, but I truly believe after South by Southwest again, we knew the trend, but voice, it will be big. Like, so screen less e-commerce, right? So we're looking at this really, really, really clearly. We're looking at conversation marketing bots too, because we think that this might be the new email. So we're looking at different those type of things. So virtual try-on, how we do personalization and conversation.
So
and
it's
how,
a busy job, basically.
Well, it's a busy job, because actually consumers have a more complex path than they used to be. And that's why it's more complex. If everything we do is for consumer, we're consumer first. So if we answer their needs, I guess it's not complex, because we just follow what consumer want, and we're listening a lot now, more and more within the data, to know what they want. And after that, so yeah, a lot of job for startup.
I love that. Just to, I guess, leave it with one thing I wanted to go back to you guys with. What do you think is something that is just one additional point about finding the right partners to drive innovation, something that people don't understand about driving innovation, or something that people don't, you know, understand about finding the right partners, how important it is, and anything else you want to throw out on that front?
Yeah, I think maybe one of the things that has been interesting for us is how your solution might fix a problem differently for different industries. So as a startup, obviously you want to build the most scalable product possible. You want it to be simple, easy to use, and you also want a lot of customers. So the reality is that product sampling is used very differently for a cosmetic brand than it might be used for a beverage brand or a snack brand or even a baby brand. And I think that's been really interesting on how we can be a good partner in understanding those different problems and understanding those different industries, and acting differently with each of those customers.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking to make sure I was not missing some services, but
that's cool.
We got a lot of services that is coming, that it's in our mind, and some of these services is how after that you're able to manage data from those services, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess this is where every organization right now that looking at artificial intelligence logic, methodology, and build a frame to be able to be smarter. I guess this is one of our core.
Oh, I love it. Thank you guys so much for making the time. And let's definitely keep the conversation going. But I think it's really interesting to see how you guys have partnered for success. And also, Marie, how you've been able to build a winning startup in a short time period. And likewise, how I think you're driving L'Oréal Canada to new heights.
Yeah, L'Oréal Canada, if I may, kudos to CDO Lubomira Rachet at the group level. That's pretty much work on this, the frame of the open innovation with EasoA, that she's my counterpart. Actually, the way it's structured, it's globally, and after that, we're scouting around the world.
And Clichy?
They are based in Clichy, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you know your L'Oréal.
I know my stuff, yeah.
A very interesting conversation that Jeremy had with the Chief Digital Officer at L'Oréal Canada, Martin Obu, as well as the founder and CEO of Sampler, Marie Chevrier. Pretty neat. I wish I was there.
Yeah, no, well, hopefully next time. And I was going to say, thank you guys so much for listening, as always, and all the feedback you guys are giving us about how to make the show better on an ongoing basis. Just a reminder, you can rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate us on Stitcher. Please do so as soon as you get out of your car and get to your destination, out of your subway, whatever. It really helps people find the show. Thanks for listening. And once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman.
And I'm Kieran Chetry. And we'll see you next time on Future Proof.